Welcome to In Our Mom's Basement Video Game Podcast, where we talk about everything video games with your host, Dan Giofue and Rage Quit Pat.
What is going on, guys? Welcome to episode 57 of In Our Mom's Basement. This episode is going to be a fun episode. It is going to be a three-parter, and we're going to be discussing this generation of consoles. And of course, I'm joined with Rage Quit Pat, and you guys know him by No Show Barbosa, Argonaut Rises. What's going on, guys?
What's going on, man? It's good to be back.
This is going to be a very, very interesting episode. As Dan the Pizza Man said, there's an introduction for him. It's a three-parter, 3 hours. So we're going to be talking about the eighth generation of consoles. So this should be very exciting. I'm very excited to talk about this as the console generation's winding down. We got PS5 and Series X on the horizon. So this is going to be a very interesting topic.
Yep, but of course, before we start, I'm going to throw out those social medias. Twitter at IOMB5, Facebook, Instagram, In Our Mom's Basement, and pretty much every podcast platform at In Our Mom's Basement. Of course, our website at In Our Mom's Basement. And one last thing before we get started, we are actually doing a audio listen giveaway for us. This is our third year anniversary, so we want to give a little something special back to you guys, and thank you guys for all the support out there. You guys could join that at innermomsbasement.com/giveaway and join it up. All right, what are we doing first? Right, part one, Xbox, right?
Yep, part one is going to be Xbox One. We're gonna kind of give a review here, talk about what we thought of Xbox this generation, of course, games and the console itself. So let us begin here. So we're going to highlight Xbox One, but before we talk about the actual launch with the games, let's talk about the disaster beforehand with Don Matrick, with the DRM issues and the price point, and of course a lot of the media heavy. So let's talk about that. What did we originally think about what the Xbox features were, which were 24/7, you have to log on at least once a day, I believe it was, from what I remember. I remember as well that there was going to be like some restrictions with like used games and borrowing games.
There was like you got a physical copy, but then you installed a game and then the CD became useless, like some weird stuff like that. And I was just like, okay,
yeah,
so it's technically, you know, not a CD game. It's literally a digital game.
Yeah, and it was weird. Then it came, then I believe there was like this family feature. You could share the game with only these 10 family members.
Yeah, which was good. No, you can go ahead. I'm just saying, yeah, they definitely did that just so to try to make it seem like, hey, you know, you can trade in games and share games with other people, like you said. But it was a quick disaster.
I guess another thing with the launch is they also made you have a Kinect. Like a mandatory feature.
Oh my god! So we're going to talk about that with the price point. So it came out at $499, and as Dan the Pizza Man said, every single system came with the Kinect 2, and we didn't even ask for that. I don't think really any of us asked for the Kinect 1, to be honest with you.
Never even used it.
Yeah, I had it, and it was became useless after like a month, but it came with a Kinect 2.
The turn-on feature was good, okay? I'm not going to lie, I used it a lot.
I'm not going to lie, I did too, and I always used to try to yell, Xbox, turn off on people and make them turn it off mid-game.
So the voice features were cool because I used the Kinect for like Mass Effect 3 when it had that feature where you could talk into it and stuff like that. Like, that stuff was convenient, like Xbox turn on, Xbox turn off, like things like that.
Xbox turn on TV. Some good features.
Yeah, like the voice features are cool, but as far as the games went, the games were a complete pile of crap. I think I maybe tried one Kinect game, and I couldn't remember what it was with the Kinect 2 we're talking about.
They stopped supporting it like, what, a year later? Maybe a year
and
a half,
they,
2 years?
I stopped it. And yeah.
Yeah, they kind of just like cleaned their hands and like, hey, we're done. That's your voice commanding machine from now on.
Yeah, and then basically that's the reason why the price point was at $499. They were like, well, it's $500 because it comes with the Kinect, which most casual gamers aren't going to use it, you know? But that's the launch. Obviously, all the things happened, and then of course Sony forced Microsoft's hand at E3 when Sony, and we'll talk about Sony as well in hour two, but Sony forced their hand by saying you could play used games, you don't have to log on all the time. And also Don Matrick made that comment, well, if people don't want to do these features in Xbox One, that's why we have Xbox 360. So, you know, of course he made that unfortunate comment, which also pissed people off, but nevertheless, Xbox retracted all of that, and we got used games, all those horrible features that, you know, that were originally introduced were scrapped. So here's the launch. We got the launch November 22nd, 2013. A little, you know, good amount of first-party titles. Dead Rising 3, Rise, Forza Motorsport 5, and Killer Instinct. Which games did we play out of all those, guys? I know we had some third-party games, but let's talk about the launch. What'd you guys think about the launch, third-party games, first-party games, and Xbox Live itself?
As much people didn't like it as much, I would say Rise was the one for me. I like those action-adventure games. I really enjoyed it. I wish they'd make a sequel. You know?
I do too.
It was kind of like the counter for God of War, if you really think about it. Instead of being Greek, they were Romans.
Yeah,
you know?
I played that game at least three times over. That game was so freaking good, man.
Yeah, the good thing about Rise also, it showed off the console, showed off the console's power graphically, because Rise was a beautiful-looking game back in 2013. I mean, it looked really good.
Well, I forgot one thing, actually, too, about the power of the Xbox One. It was technically more expensive and less powerful than the PS4.
Yep.
And that's another factor altogether, because the resolution was a big thing, right? So Rise ran a 900p. Beautiful game. Beautiful game, but it can never reach that target 1080p.
Yeah, man, it's unfortunate. You know what? I think if they were to take that Kinect down, the price would have dropped at least by 100.
It would have been way more viable, yeah.
Rise, I really enjoyed as well. I do agree with you guys there. Rise was definitely a very underrated game, but I know a lot of people were kind of just like, it was very bland, but I really enjoyed it. Dead Rising 3 is another first-party title I really enjoyed with Xbox. I really loved Dead Rising 3, and they finally got it right with Dead Rising 3. The character was okay, but I really felt that they got it right with that game.
KI was fun, so was Forza, but you know, those are specific targeted games. It's not for everybody. I was a sucker. I bought all the launch titles. I'm not gonna lie. I'm sure some of you did too.
Dead Rising, Rise. I didn't play the Motorsports. I didn't play. I hated Killer Instincts, but I think Dead Rising I played with Pat and Gato.
Yeah, Dead Rising was a lot of fun. I really liked Dead Rising 3. Definitely was a really good launch title, 100%. Killer Instinct, I believe, was free, wasn't it? It wasn't too bad. I enjoyed Killer Instinct.
Yeah, no, it was fun. I mean, I'm not... I like fighting games, but to a limited capacity. But I enjoyed it. It was great that they brought it back right after all those years. So that was a big deal at the time.
Let's talk about our experience. With Xbox Live, obviously with launch, the cool thing that I remember you and I did a lot, Argonaut, was we did a lot of Xbox record, like Xbox record that. So that was another decent feature with the Kinect, was that we could just yell Xbox record that. We had a lot of fun playing Battlefield 4, which was a fun game. I actually really liked that. That was another launch title I picked up, third-party launch title. It was a lot of fun. And I, of course, I still remember to this day your kamikaze video and everything that. But let's talk about – I did not like Xbox Live at launch. The party system was a disaster. I remember a lot of times you kept getting kicked out of the party constantly being kicked out of the party. And I just didn't like the layout. Like from what I remember when it first came out, the layout – like inviting somebody to a party was a five-minute task.
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys remember that.
I remember it was fucking awful, because I know we all tried jumping in parties together constantly with the amount of troubles. We couldn't even play together. It came to the point of like, it just, you know, fuck it.
Wasn't there a limited capacity for parties at one point? Because back then,
I think it was eight. Yeah, at the time the limit was eight. But the problem was, I remember we would be in a party and you would just constantly get disconnected all the time. And
especially related with the games, like, oh, we're doing a match and somehow right when the match about to start, boom, you're out. And you're just like, dude, what?
Exactly. And even like just the layout of it was like, it was bad. Like, even to boot up a game, and like I said, inviting someone to a party was a 5-minute task. I remember trying to invite, it took, because I remember from Xbox 360, it's boom, go to their name, boom, invite to party. This one, it's like, I got to go to here, I got to go down there, I have to, like, it was just bad. I mean, setting up and retrieving my stuff was easy. Like, I remember I logged in, my name connected rather quickly, everything was good, but
The operating system wasn't optimized, man. That's the reality of it. Like it was what compared to what it is now, like it's night and day. It's a very different world. Which we're going to talk about soon is about the leadership, right? On the direction the Xbox was taking, right? They were center on media, right? It was like, oh, well, you can control your TV, you can do the channel controls, your voice commands. It's going to be instantaneously. And none of that really came into execution when it got released. And then, you know, for us gamers that, you know, maybe those features are cool and we want to use it, it was like, hey, man, you know, our party chat is not working. You know, that's one of the most important things for our multiplayer.
And that was going on for like a month. I remember that party chat
when they were launching this console, they didn't really emphasize how much the gaming of it. They more did the entertainment. Oh yeah, you're connected to TV. You could, you know, watch movies together on the television. Yeah. You know, they went strong at the entertainment side of watching TV and movies and stuff, and not enough towards the gaming.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And we saw that trend happen for a while, even at E3s with the 360 era. It was heavy entertainment with the Kinect. Like, you could control the music. And then it carried right into Xbox One when the reveal, they talked about the Halo TV show that we still have not gotten yet. That supposedly we're getting on Showtime, whenever that is.
Which I hope soon.
I mean, they just talked about entertainment-wise. But, I mean, you know what? And then after all that, you know, it started to pick up some steam. Dom Matrick left, thank God. And Phil Spencer came in and kind of geared Xbox back to the games rather than it, you know, it being like all entertainment. It went back to being gaming, and I thought that is when Xbox started the trend definitely in the right direction once Phil Spencer took over.
Yeah, I couldn't be happy when he took over. I was excited about it. I'm like, fucking finally, you know, Phil Spencer's actually going to try to change things, and I think somewhat he is actually doing a better job at it.
Yeah. He completely changed the messaging, right? Like, that's the first thing. Like, the Xbox that we got with Don Matrick was completely different from what Phil Spencer is doing now with it. You know, it's continuous optimizing, continuous improvement, right? Versus just be like, hey, this is what we deal with it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was
Don really got that message out there for us.
So all in all, though, what did we think of the original launch of Xbox?
I think it was sloppy for the most part. 100%. You know, there wasn't enough content, period. You know, like, there wasn't enough launch exclusives. There was too many issues with it. And I think there was a hardware problem with certain consoles with the power supply, I think it was.
This power supply, yes.
Yeah, it was a very sloppy one, and hopefully they've learned from those mistakes going into the next gen.
Yeah, I think it definitely, I agree on the sloppy side. I was very impressed with the launch titles, actually. I did like the launch titles. But yeah, definitely very sloppy. Operating system was garbage. I mean, it was a step backward from the 360, which I was unheard. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, how could you take a step back when we're entering a new generation? But all in all, actually, the controller, of course, I still really enjoyed the controller, but yeah, definitely very sloppy start for Xbox.
Yeah, one thing they always do good with is the controllers. I mean, I miss the old, like, the old original Xbox controller. I like that big bulky motherfucker, but I still think they do a good job with it overall.
100%. And like, you see like how they improved it, right? Like, the version that we have now, you know, kind of moved itself away from that proprietary technology with that, you know, dongle that you had to put for headsets.
Yeah.
I mean, you see what Phil Spencer did, you know, even Xbox One S and X, right? As soon as we're going to start talking about that, you know, the brick is inside the system, right? We don't need to carry that thing around with our system. It's just one cable, smooth cable, straight to the power outlet, and that's all we need. But it's like you see all these improvements going as it happens throughout the years.
I will say,
very different Xbox.
I do like that the bottom of the controller connector for the headset, because I can mute easily and control volume easier than going into the menu. I do like that still.
It also kind of sucked that it took forever for like a Turtle Beach or an Astro headset to finally get working on these next-gen consoles. My God, I remember the freaking garbage headset.
There was no transition, honestly, right? Like, if I recall that, like, there was like at the beginning, it was like you either buy new headsets or you're really shit out of luck.
Yeah, and it really wasn't a good. I did not get my first, and I'm a fan of Turtle Beach. I know, Argon, I know your Astro. I'm not sure what Dan, Pizza Man, uses, but I'm a fan of Turtle Beach. I didn't get my first Turtle Beach until 2015 when Rainbow Six Siege came out. And that's 2 years after launch. That is when I got my first Turtle Beach.
I've been using Beach since Xbox One. I love the Turtle Beaches, but recently, probably like 2 years ago, I went to HyperX.
HyperX is good. Man, it's really getting big now. That's for sure.
So let's talk about the steps forward that Xbox is taking. Let's talk about, you know, as E3 started to come around, how about backwards compatibility? That was very huge when Phil Spencer announced that. First, they did it with Xbox 360, and then at the one E3, they announced original Xbox games. Some games were also backwards compatible. What are our thoughts on that big announcement on, obviously, backwards compatibility? Because obviously, with the 360, it was very limited. Same thing with PS3, unless you got the original that came out, the 60 gigabyte or the 20 gigabyte, it was very limited. So, and when Phil Spencer announced that, it was a huge lineup of backwards compatibility games. What do you guys think of that?
I thought it was amazing. It was really good. And not only that, right? So they, you know, of course you got to talk to the developers and the publishers to get these titles in, but there's one thing that they did better than any did you ever hear about it? So they get these titles that are backwards compatible and improve upon them, but it's not the developers of these games that are doing it. It's the Xbox team there is doing it, like Red Dead 4K, improve shader quality, shadows, lighting, all of it. And that's just the Xbox team, and a lot of backwards titles do that, like Final Fantasy 13, all three of them. Given, I know it's not the greatest Final Fantasy to our listeners, but all improved, 4K, better shading, better textures. I thought it was amazing, and I still think it's a killer feature for Series X that's coming out, and I hope they keep doing it.
I think they're only going to get bigger with it. I mean, there's still quite a few games I want to see backwards compatible. So I think they're still going to be doing it, and, you know, with them even giving it to us, most games for free in the Game Pass, too, is just unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, And it's not like they only announced like a handful of games when they announced backwards compatibility. They announced like a crap ton of backwards compatibility. And then a lot of the titles that they did for the original Xbox are big titles. So it's not like they gave you like, here's some, you know, crappy titles. You know, it's both KOTORs. It's, you know, Battlefront 1 and 2. There's a lot of Star Wars games on there.
I want The Godfather.
There's some good ones on there that were really good. There are some that are missing, yes, but they have released some really good backwards compatible games. Again, trending upward here, of course, as Dan mentioned it in his conversation, Game Pass. I mean, what's there really, you know, what more could we say about how amazing the feature of Game Pass is? Every first-party Xbox game at launch, they also acquire some really good third-party titles as well. And it almost makes you wonder, should I just, you know, how good Game Pass is? Maybe I should just wait for the game to come out on Game Pass rather than paying $60. Do we have those feelings? Or, you know, what else more good could we say about Game Pass?
The one good thing about Game Pass is, you know, a lot of these, even these small developers who put their game in here that aren't exclusive to Xbox, they put their game in these Game Passes, and from what I hear, Xbox takes care of them very well as far as paying them wise. So I give props to them for, you know, spending money to bring more companies in to, you know, bring us all together with these games. These games are phenomenal. And I think Game Pass is probably one of the best things Xbox ever done. I mean, it saves us a lot of money in the long run. because instead of paying $60 per game, all, you know, all these games that are coming out that are Xbox exclusive that we want that's coming to the Game Pass. And what do you pay, like a little over $100 a year?
Yeah, then all this, right? Oh, sorry. You can go ahead, but I was just going to give you the
gist. Oh, no. It was just a quickly saying that even with Game Pass Ultimate now comes with gold, so now it also saves you on Xbox Gold.
And it includes PC as well, PC Game Pass.
Yeah, yep. Ultimate. So this is the thing, right? Think about this, right? In a long perspective, right? Right now we all bought gold. Some of them got converted to Ultimate. Like Dan especially knows that, right, Dan? With the betas that we tried out, they converted our gold into Ultimate Passes. But in the long run, right, you're paying like $15 a month for Ultimate, which gives you Gold, Game Pass for PC, all these servers all included into one package. Pretty good, if you think about it, right? You pay $15 for a Netflix. So why wouldn't you pay for gaming, right? And the best part is it doesn't need to be streaming. You can install these titles into your system. So you don't need to worry about some streaming going down and your internet just dropping. It's there, ready for to go right after installing.
Yeah, and also they recently threw in Project X Cloud into it as well. Yeah. X Cloud, so even more stuff on top of the cake.
Yeah, that's another thing too for Android users with Project X Cloud. That's another thing that's becoming. Damn, if you have an Android phone, have you tried Project X Cloud?
Yeah, I was playing the beta of that when it first came out, man. I was playing dude, I always forget the name of the game. I was playing some big game, I forgot. But it worked really well. I played it at work when I was at work in my office. I was playing it there, it worked beautifully.
Does it work better than the Google Stadia?
You know what, surprisingly, I did play Stadia for a little while and I'm pretty impressed with that as well. It's actually not as bad.
I heard some terrifying stories of it. So like it's 50-50 depending on the person.
As long as you have the correct internet speed for it. I played it on Wi-Fi and hardwired, so no issues. But back to xCloud, I played it at work on, you know, data service. And sure, those small hiccups here and there because I was in New York, fucking motherfucking busy fucking area. But it ran wonderful, though. Like, it ran pretty good.
Get that controller holder and walking around with it. You guys see them in that on the advertising.
I had a big ass Xbox controller.
I can see Dan doing it.
Like, do.
I mean, hopefully one day it'll get to Apple. I mean, I hope so. I definitely would love to.
Who knows? Not with Apple restricting motherfuckers now.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Hopefully that'll change.
I hope so. Everyone should be able to enjoy that. It's a great feature.
And another big thing that they also did was acquiring the JRPGs and a lot of the other titles that were very exclusive to PlayStation, one of them being Yakuza, which is on Game Pass. I mean, I love the Yakuza series. It's a very, if you guys have never played Yakuza, it's a very underrated series. I mean, it's actually a really good story, but like you get lost in the amount of stuff you can do in the game. Like that's really what grasp the game. Just there's so much to do, like besides even like the side missions. Like the side missions aren't just your fetch quests, they're really fun side missions, but like singing karaoke, playing baseball, like it was, you know, it was a lot of fun. But what other JRPGs did they, you know, I know Argonaut, you're more of the JRPG game player. What else did they acquire?
They acquired all the Final Fantasies, which was the first time ever like they got I think it was the original 7, which they remastered for PC and PS4 and Steam. They got that in there for it. And they got 8. Well, actually, 8. Yeah, 8 is in there. 9, 10, 11. Well, 11's online. Sorry, that's wrong. I apologize, listeners. 12. And then 13 is remastered for, not really technically remastered, but upgraded for backwards compatibility. And 15, it's been there. It's been multi-platform. They have a really good deal. Kingdom Hearts is part of Game Pass, too, which is phenomenal. The whole three series, 1.5 and 2.5. Phil Spencer did, like, multiple, like, trips to Japan. There were articles about that every other month. Like, hey, he went to talk to developers there. Like, Nier Automata, that's not really a JRPG, but has kind of some RPG elements. They got that into their system. Bandai Namco has a really good relationship with them now, too, which delivers a lot of them. Like, Scarlet Nexus is going to come out in the Series X. I I'm telling you, you know, it's going to be very different this generation in terms of, like, other than exclusive titles, which are timed some usually, we're going to get a lot of the titles that were only on PS4 now on Xbox for sure.
And I mean, that you look at Xbox as it grew. Obviously, the original Xbox, there really was I don't even think there was really that many JRPGs at all on the original Xbox. And also, Phantasy Star Online, I believe, is on Xbox One as well. That was a big thing. I know there was
that's been big in, like, you know, Japan, man. They've been waiting for that game for years.
The Dreamcast era, the Dreamcast era, that was like the huge Phantasy Star Online. And then when Phantasy Star Online 2 came out for Xbox, I know that was a big thing. I mean, again, you know, the original Xbox, there was barely any JRPGs. Xbox 360, I remember when they got Final Fantasy on the console, which was always a PlayStation game, but they were still kind of slowly getting Japanese games. But this generation, you definitely saw more Japanese titles, which is good. I mean, the Japanese market is a really good market, and they do got some good games.
They definitely expanded themselves, right? Like, so if they, like, if it was only like Nintendo and PlayStation that could deliver those titles, like, it makes it very hard for them to sell to that group of people that are mainly JRPG players, right? And Japanese related anime based games, like, they want those titles on Xbox. And, like, to give you a perfect example, Tokyo Game Show coming out later this month, Xbox is doing a showing there. Dan, tell me when that does happen.
Dude, that's crazy, dude. I never thought I would see them over there.
Yeah. Tokyo Game Show.
Yeah, we're going to get to see Resident Evil 8. I can't fucking wait for that at Tokyo Game Show. I'm so stoked to see gameplay for that.
Loving it.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, and again, trending upward. But let's talk about some of the downwards. You know, of course, the Xbox is not perfect. It makes some mistakes. Of course, Mixer being one of them. We won't talk too much about that because we talked about that in other podcasts. Yeah, but it was very heavily integrated into Xbox. Come on, like, Mixer was very heavily integrated into Xbox, and that was an issue. But let's talk about some canceled games before we get into the games that we liked. I know this was Dan's favorite game here, Fable Legends.
Fuck out of here, bro.
That was one canceled game here on Xbox. That was, I wouldn't even say disappointment.
It was on beta forever. That's how
it was.
I think a lot of people were actually very happy that this game got canceled, to be honest with you. But there was one game that I was very disappointed that got canceled, which was Scalebound.
I think a lot of people were waiting for that game. A lot of people. I was one of them.
And that gameplay at E3, the game looked so much fun. And when they canceled it in 2017, I was so pissed.
It was so out of nowhere, too, if you really think about it. It was like, hey, they were betting hard on it with Platinum Games, and they're like, oh, sorry, it's not coming out anymore. But supposedly they had developing issues.
Yeah, but I think it was a developer issue, not a Microsoft, but a developer.
But, man, that game looked a lot of fun. I remember when they showed the gameplay at E3, I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait for this game. And I get some cancellations there. Any other Xbox falling outs?
Well, let's be real, right? Master Chief Collection wasn't functional when it got released.
Yeah,
and I mean, Halo 5 didn't really appease the fans. Even though I thought it was okay, a lot of people didn't like it.
Yeah, if you were looking to play Master Chief Collection for the multiplayer, you were sadly disappointed at launch. I mean, if you kind of were just there for this... The story mode, you're fine. The story mode worked just fine, but the multiplayer was a complete and utter disaster. Like, it was big time. I think it was down for about a month. It was down for a very long time. It felt like forever until they finally patched that online up.
Yeah. It
took them a long time.
I think two of the biggest games were Fable Legends and Scalebound, at least the ones that really impacted.
Yeah. As far as cancellations, but definitely Scalebound, I think, was more, obviously, I don't think really anybody wanted Fable Legends.
I did not want it.
I don't think anyone really asked for Fable Legends, but luckily we're getting seems like a reboot, so very excited about that with Series X. But, I mean, let's talk about the consoles that they've released also. So then we got let's talk about the design of the three consoles here really quickly. So we had the freaking VCR, original Xbox One. Yeah. And we got the smaller Xbox One S, which I thought was definitely much needed. And then, of course, the Xbox One X. Of course, I know you two own those. Much smaller. But the original Xbox, what did we think of the VCR garbage design? I thought it was terrible.
I didn't like the plastic on top. I hated that plastic on top. It scratched super.
You didn't
easy.
Even do nothing to it, and it scratched itself. Yeah, right, that's how bad it was.
Look at it. I remember a piece of dust flew came down. It was a dust magnet too. That was a dust magnet and a half.
Yeah, it wasn't their best design at all. I did like the Slim though. The Slim was nice, and I think with the X it got better. I really liked the design of the X. They made a really nice plastic on it. They made it look really nice.
Not only that, it's a brick, so if you ever get attacked at your own home, you can use it as a weapon 100%.
Yeah, it's knocking them over the head. Yeah.
Oh, they will end up in the hospital if you throw that thing on them. That thing is a brick.
It is a brick.
And I remember I was packing my original Xbox One. I was bringing it somewhere. I don't remember, and I was like, my God, why the fuck is this friggin' so damn heavy? I'm like, Jesus. I was like, this is the eighth generation of consoles. I thought we're supposed to have smaller consoles now. But that's a lie because look at the Series X and the PS5. So that's a lie. But I'm happy a couple years later we got the Xbox One S, which definitely was much better in size. And then, of course, the Xbox One X also had a really good size.
I'm thinking about this. The Xbox One, when it first came out, that had a separate power brick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. That's,
yes, it did.
Yeah, it had a separate DS power brick on top of a big fucking box. It was like overkill.
Yeah, we were still living in freaking 2004 with a freaking separate power brick.
I don't understand why they like that power brick thing. And if you really think about it, right, that power brick was one of the main issues, like Dan said before, that the system went awry. The power brick just died. And there was nothing you could do. Your system is gone without it.
Yep. And then before we start heading towards the games, what did we think of the operating system over time? Obviously, when it first came out, the operating system was trash. It took you 5 minutes to invite people to a party. It just did not look good at all compared to 360. I almost wanted to turn on my 360 because how bad the layout looked on Xbox One. But it's definitely much improved now. It's a lot easier to navigate. And they've definitely did a better job over the years with the operating system as time went on.
Things with me with this, the last 2 years maybe, or 3 years, is when the operating system really became this really good thing. Now he's running the new operating system, which is going to be similar to what's running on Series X. It is day and night. I love that they didn't give up on it, right? That's the main factor. They didn't just hey, man, cool, I'm going to tweak little things. No, they were we're going to redesign some of the stuff that's happening with the system. Pins don't work. All right, we're going to make it better. You want to change your screen for the gaming store, which now it's brand new too. Here, we're going to give you a brand new gaming store. I think they made a lot of good strides for updating. I still hope they continue that. I love being an insider for that. I love trying the new stuff. I feel like Xbox makes you feel like you're part of it, right? You're like, hey, we're trying this new feature. What do you guys think about it?
Yeah.
What do you think, Dan?
When it first came out, I thought the dashboard was, it looked good. Did it work good? No, not quite. But, Xbox really does listen to their users. And they've done a lot of improvements over the years. I think this is their third or fourth dashboard change already. And I like this one a lot. This one's a lot more smoother, better transitions, seamless. But, dude, that store is fucking beautiful.
And faster, right? That's what they said
definitely faster.
New...
And I do like it, they made the integrating your homepage a lot better for you, customizing it a lot better for yourself, for what you want to do. So I think they did a fabulous job on that, and I love how they add those small little things, pins. Pins saved my life, man. Meeting people in parties changing the volumes up and down like that, that's a beautiful add-on, and it's really nice to see that Xbox actually listens to their people,
Control two of the blade, right? That blade, when you press the Xbox symbol in your control, and that blade shows up and it gives you the full control of the system, you can access your party, your messages, go to the game store, all of it in one shot. I love that.
Which is customizable because you can move. Once you hit that button in the middle, you can move the tabs where you want them.
Yep.
Yeah, compared to before, you had to go through like 8,000 screens to get where you wanted to go. So definitely
was... Don't forget that. That was the worst part of it. Sometimes you went into the gaming store and it's just like a black screen and you're just like... Oh, I guess I gotta close the app and reopen it.
Yeah, and then the app works great on our phones too. You can just obviously buy games off from your phone now, and it downloads right to your system.
I use that a lot actually to install new games. I just go on the app and install.
And it works great.
It does really well. And you know, on top of that, we're finally getting animated fucking backgrounds.
I can't wait for that. You know, PlayStation's been doing that for a while, just bringing it up quickly. I love, like, they do it. And it has, like, that...
The music,
you know,
as well. I have the Forza Horizon one, and it has the Forza Horizon, like, music playing as well in the background.
And it's organic. Like, I like the theme. The theme in the back is kind of like you saw the colors flashing through and, like, vibrating like that. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that's pretty awesome. I hope, I really hope they keep giving us customization options.
Yeah.
And even change the titles. Like, if you can change the tiles on the system, like, putting different themes on it, like PlayStation does, that would be awesome too, like a Halo tile.
Yeah, and you know it would be cool, you know, how they have the light and dark theme, if you customize that as well.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool, and, you know, we should probably talk a little bit about how they improve their avatar creations.
Yes.
Because that was a really good part on that, because you could do a lot more with it. It feels a lot better to do it. Like, it's a lot more easy to customize your character.
Yeah, I liked what they did with the avatar system. They definitely improved on it, and I'm glad they brought it back. I really liked what they did.
And for people that don't like Avatar, I like, too, the fact that now you can put your own picture, right? Like, if you want to put in our mom's basement Avatar icon, you can do that. That's the best part of it. Like, you don't need to select pre-selected ones. You can go through your app on your phone and be like, hey, man, I actually like this picture. I'm going to throw it in there.
Yeah, that's great, man. And they're still improving it, which is really nice.
Yep.
Guys, we're going to take a quick 30-second sponsor break, and we will be right back.
Now let's talk about the first-party games. There was a lot. Argonaut and I discussed this a little bit. We are not going to count timed exclusives. So Tomb Raider is out. Dead Rising 4 is out. And at one point, we're not going to talk about games that were one-point exclusive that are now on PlayStation. Cuphead's now on PlayStation, but at one point it was exclusive.
I wasn't aware of that.
It's
no one told me that. Uh-huh. No one told me that. I don't get any of those anyway. So I mean, it don't bother me.
So I'm gonna talk about some of the good games that I. So I'm only gonna talk about the games that I personally played. I'm not gonna talk about the games that I have not played because I can't judge them.
That's how it should be.
So if any of you guys, of course, have played a first party game that I have not played and want to talk about it. Of course, you know, feel free. I know Argonauts played ReCore, so I did not. But definitely what... Oh,
but, you know, I think a lot of us are going to have very similar favorites on there. I would
yeah,
because there's a lot of good ones out there.
Yeah, for the most part. So I'm going to... Definitely one of my first favorites is Gears 4 and 5. I mean, definitely I love the story direction. In 4, we played as Marcus Fenix's son and... things like that. I really enjoyed Gears 4. Gears 5 definitely was an improvement for me as well with the little linear open world and where the story, obviously the ending was fucking crazy and where the story is headed. I can't wait for Gears 6, but Gears 4 and 5 definitely love Coalition is the developer now instead of I really enjoyed Gears 4 and 5.
I have Gears on my list too. I actually really like this Gears. Besides me getting halfway in the game, my save game corrupting.
Oh yeah,
and starting
that
over.
That was Gears 5, right?
Yeah,
that was Gears 5. Yeah,
but I had a lot of fun with that game, though. Regardless of that, I still enjoyed it a lot.
I remember you messaged me. You're like, "Yo, I have to fucking restart my game. It's corrupted."
I actually haven't finished Gears 5. I got to the desert. No spoilers more than that, and. I'm going to wait for Series X so I can get, you know, those beautiful ray tracing.
Yeah, for real, right? Yeah.
You get me? So I was like, I'm already close here. A couple months more. What's going to hurt?
You know, surprisingly, it was a short game, though.
It was, yeah. But if you did the stuff around the area, it was cool. But the ending is crazy. I'll just tell you that. The ending
was
really good.
Good.
That was a crazy ending. I said it before at the top of the podcast, Dead Rising 3 is a first party game I really enjoyed. I loved they pretty much finally added what was good about the first game and the second game, put it in the third game. Dead Rising 3 for me as well. What else you guys have? I have a couple too.
I'll throw on that and then throw on one of mine. So I played Dead Rising quite a bit with Rage Quit and Gato. Fun game. I really enjoyed it. You know, the one thing, I can't play that single player. I feel like that's more of a co-op only kind of game for me. But overall, I thought it was a pretty fun game. So, and then
yeah, I played it too. But
I also threw Forza Horizon 4 on there. Yeah, it's still a fucking great game.
I put the whole series. I mean the Forza Horizon series was phenomenal.
Killer in this generation for racing.
Yeah. Yeah, I put 4 because I haven't really actually played any other the Horizons until 4.
I mean, there's so much to do in those Horizon games, man. There's so many races and the car customization, the multiplayer, the game modes. Like, the Horizon series was a ton of fun this generation.
100%. 3 and 4 killed it. Like, there was no way to better describe them. Like, what they did and executed on it was, like, amazing. Like, in terms of, like, how much you could do, customizing your cars. We even had one of our friends, remember Steven? He went crazy about designing cars.
He played that game 24/7.
He was a maniac.
I know Series X is kicking it off with Motorsport, so I'm really excited for when on Series X, the Horizon series, because it's a rotation. So right now it's Motorsport. After that, it's going to be Horizon. So I'm really excited for Series X. I also threw in Sunset Overdrive by Insomniac. Love that game. Phenomenal game.
Playing PlayStation now.
Yes.
I played it, but it was fun, but not on the list of favorites.
But PlayStation missed out on this one, though, man. Sunset Overdrive was... It's definitely an Insomniac game, man. The gameplay is great. I love the grinding on the... the weapons were outrageous, and the monsters, like, everyone's turning into a monster because of the energy drink. It was such an Insomniac story and game. It was phenomenal. I loved it. Sunset Overdrive. That was a treat.
I actually put a more of a recent game on there. I put Battletoads, and I thought it was a fucking great game.
Yeah, I haven't played it. I was thinking about I'm gonna play it, but what are the thoughts on Battletoads? Does it feel like old Battletoads difficulty and
platform? It is kind of difficult. I mean, of course, you could pick your difficulty, and I thought it. You know, some fucking boards were really hard on even the normal areas, like ones where you got to speed run and shit. Some of those can be pretty challenging. I tried to get all the collectibles on them, but it was a lot of fun, man. That's one game I destroyed in like 3 days. It was a lot of fun.
Is Streets of Rage exclusive?
No. It's on every platform.
That's on every... Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because I was thinking about adding, but I'm like, wait a minute, I think it's came out already. I actually added... I did add the Master Chief Collection, despite it having
it
issues with multiplayer. But the thing was, I didn't pick up the Master Chief Collection for the multiplayer. I picked it up for, obviously, the story mode, playing through all the Halo stories again. Then they added ODST. Then they added Reach. So pretty much all the Halo stories are in one package. So that's why I added. And of course, Halo 2 was remastered, which looked phenomenal. So I could care less that the multiplayer bombed. It didn't bother me all that much. So I was very excited to play through all the story again.
All right. I threw on a Respawn, Titanfall. I mean, that's a pretty classic Xbox game right there, which was awesome. The story came in number 2.
Dude,
the multiplayer was really good.
Dude, we put a shit ton in the Titanfall. I remember when Titanfall came out, man. We put that's on my list, too. That came out in March. I remember that was like the first big launch title for me. And wow, man, we played the shit out of the beta, the multiplayer. I mean, we played that game nonstop, man. It felt fresh. Like, it was a new shooter. It felt like a fresh new shooter, obviously, with the mechs and everything like that. And, I mean, even though Titanfall 2 is multi-platform, to me, Titanfall 2 is probably my favorite shooter of this whole generation. I mean, Titanfall, it was a really good series. I hope we get to see a third one. I hope they could just stop with that fucking Apex Legends crap and make a Titanfall 3 already.
Yeah, you know,
they will stop that. They were making a ton of money out of it.
Yeah, I know. But they did a really good job with Star Wars, though. Also, with Respawn as well. So,
Titanfall was good in mech and out of mech, which is really nice because running around, shooting, running, gunning actually felt really good.
The mechs didn't know the craziest things. The mechs were not like the most important thing. It just shifted gameplay. Like you had to like strategize differently. Like when a mech came in, you're like, "Oh crap! Now I really have to like make sure I don't die or anything like that. Bring out the heavy hitters."
And the mechs didn't feel overpowered either, man. Like the mechs were not OP, which I think was a probably a concern for most players. Like, oh my god, if you get a mech, you're gonna get crushed. But no, man, it was an adrenaline rush when you're on that mech and you're removing the friggin' power supply and then you're just shooting the crap out of it and it blows up. Like it was good, man. And the game modes were fun. I liked the capture the flag, the team deathmatch. That was a really good shooter. I threw this one in there, and I know Quantum Break by
what's Air the at Remedy.
At Remedy, man. Yeah. Wow. And I mean, very. It's not a big talked about game, but I loved the TV show aspect of it. When you're done with the level, and it kind of just goes into like a 30-minute TV episode. Yeah. Like, it was awesome. I loved it. The gameplay was like a mixture for me, like Max Payne and Alan Wake. I loved it. It
definitely was the mapping for, if you really think about Control, right? Like if you look at it, that was like the map of how Control somewhat it was going to play like, because a lot of the features that you see in Control are kind of in Quantum Break.
Yeah. And it was very, and that's something you don't really see too much, where you're done with the level, you make a choice, and it goes into a TV episode. I believe the first episode is the same no matter what the choice you pick, but the other episodes are different, which I thought was really cool. Like, I really like that. And you play as Iceman from X-Men, so can't beat that. And the main villain is, what's his name from Game of Thrones?
Littlefinger.
Littlefinger. So there you go right there. You're Iceman going after Littlefinger. So that's a very important part.
All right. I think this is a game that Pat's not going to completely agree with, but, you know, the game has gotten better. I'm going to put Sea of Thieves in there. I still play a ton of time.
I knew it was coming. I was like, I'm waiting
for
it.
I still play. It has gotten way better since launch. Way better. And you know what? They're still adding content in there. They're still going strong. I mean, they have a pretty strong community still. Sea of Thieves has a good community.
I'll jump on that game in a minute. My last game I put on my favorites is the Rare Replay. Really loved going back and playing all the Rare titles, from Battletoads to Banjo-Kazooie to Conker's Bad Fur Day. Like, it was great to go back, and it was only $20 to go back and literally play all those titles. Like, that was phenomenal. So to now jump on the least favorite, so I'll jump on Sea of Thieves first, since Dan the Pizza Man brought it up. You know, I know it has a big community now and stuff like that, but this game was supposed to be Rare's return. Like, when this game was shown, everybody's like, oh my god, Rare is back. No more fucking Kinect games. Like, no more garbage games anymore. Rare's back. And we did everything in 3 hours at launch.
I didn't have much content at the end, but it has definitely gotten better. Like, they're adding pets in the next coming patch. Like, it's definitely gotten better. You know, you haven't played since, so it's okay. You don't understand yet, but
yeah, I mean, I don't want to. I watch people stream it, and it's, to me, it still looks like it all depends on who I play with, I guess. But Argon, is there any games that we missed that you liked or anything like that?
You pretty much talked to all of them that I really enjoy. I mean, you know, if we're really gonna talk about the bad ones, I'm ready for it. Like State of Disaster 2.
Okay, so that was what I was going to bring up as well. State of Decay 2, which I was really looking forward to, because State of Decay 1 was really good, but
it was like State of Disaster, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, Decay, duh.
I mean, my god, man, you talk about a glitch fest. I encountered one of those glitches. I drove my car into a rock, and it got stuck. I remember Dan joined my game. He had none of his weapons. I think you were playing with this Argonaut. He's like, I don't have my weapons. I don't have any of my weapons.
I probably did because, man, it's like, you know how, like, you know, you hear all these stories, right? The developers go through, like, the testing phases, make sure to take out the bugs. They probably are like, nah, man, you know what? Skip that part. Send the game out. It's ready.
And what was frustrating about State of Decay 2 is that this time it was actually funded by Microsoft. The first game, it was just an indie title by Undead Labs, and it was just strictly indie. And this time around, Microsoft funded it, and this is the final product that we got. A glitch. And, I mean, don't get me wrong, the game was still good when it worked, but it was very disappointing.
Yeah.
It's interesting how it changed, right? Like, they supposedly they improved upon it, and they started fixing it. But, like, you know, you're already fighting for this generation and the attention of it. So, like, you put a game out like that and you're just like, dude, what are you doing? Like,
maybe it's just the type of gamer that I am, that I know, like Dan says, Sea of Thieves is better now. You just said State of Decay is better now. Why can't it just be fine at launch? Why do I have to wait 6 months for it to finally be patched? Like, I guess it's just the type of gamer I am where if it's not working right away, I'm just done. Like, I'm over it. Like, because I guess, you know, we grew up in a generation where games were done. And if they weren't, they got pushed back and they came out and this was the final product. We didn't have to wait 6-7 months for the game to finally be like, oh, we patched it. It's added all this, added all that. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just the type of, that's the type of gamer I am. I know everyone's different, but, you know, I don't.
That's the thing, right? That was the ongoing message, not just from Microsoft as per se, like for everybody in this generation. Like, a lot of the titles that we got and received, everybody had the same message, right? They're like, hey, sorry, our game is glitchy, we'll fix it during like the next 5 months. And you're just like, dude, like, then yeah. Why did you release it?
Yeah, you know what it is, you know, myself who plays a lot of like beta and pre-release games where, you know, I'm used to glitches. You know how Xbox brought in that a category specifically for pre-release games. So I think it's something like that. You know, I'm used to all that kind of game, so I'm used to encountering bugs and stuff, and you know, waiting for it to get fixed over time because I play all those games on PC. I think I'm just used to it.
Argon, I wanted to ask you, what did you think of ReCore?
Yeah, so ReCore was pretty good. I never finished it, per se, but it was very Zelda-esque. So that's why I really started enjoying it. Eventually, I'm probably going to go back to it. But the story wasn't really there. It was kind of interesting trying to find out what's happening. But the gameplay was very much like Zelda. You're moving around. Even how like you circle around and attack the enemies. The enemy has the pattern. It's not crazy hard, but it's also not that, you know, like easy to kill, like, so it was like in between in terms of enemies. But I definitely enjoyed it. There was a lot of puzzles. It just, you know, I think it got what, a 7 at the time, right? Was it?
Yeah, it wasn't, they didn't get any bad scores. It was right around a 7. I'm gonna throw in another disappointment here. You know, you brought it up earlier in the show, Halo 5. You know, I mean, it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a bad game per se. But the story just,
I like it.
You know, obviously the marketing, you know, let's talk about it real quick. The marketing made it seem like you were going to make a choice, Master Chief or Spartan Locke, and they were going to have this battle, and it made it seem like you're going to have an option. Are you going to side with Chief? You're going to side with Locke. The game comes out. It's, I think it was what, like 85% Locke, and maybe the rest was, there was like 3 levels only as Master Chief, and you know, that pissed a lot of people off. I mean,
they made
I didn't
it seem like it was like, you know, Chief was getting hunted by Locke like that. Yeah. But then, like, oh, they meet up and they're like, oh, bro, you're my pal. You're my pal. All right. Well, cool. Yeah. We're cool, right? That's fine. Yeah, I'm going to let you go now.
They had that one battle. They had that one battle where they fist fought. Then after that, he's like, okay, I'm on your side. And it was just, you like, know, I really hope they fix it with Infinite. Obviously, we know what's going on with Infinite. It got pushed back. So I really do hope that the story is much better. But again, the game was not bad. The gameplay was excellent. The multiplayer was good. It's just the, you know, I do play Halo for story, and it just, it wasn't there for me. It stunk.
Is Halo 5 going to be part of our playthrough for all the Halos?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely should. You know, we're going to go through Dan and I over the next couple months. Are probably going to some streams here and there. Are going to go through the Halo story, so we're going to go through all of them. So you know, it definitely should be on there because Infinite, we don't know when it's coming out. So Dan, we have plenty of time to get through the Halo story. So no rush.
I'll throw a game on there.
I'll send you guys something fun.
How about the one game that kind of really upset me because I was hoping for a really good game was Crackdown.
That's my last one. Oh my god! That's my last one. What a fucking disaster! Crackdown. Thank God for Xbox Game Pass because that game was a. I played.
Thank God.
It only took me 30 minutes, and I was like, "I'm done. This game is shit."
Dude, it was absolutely terrible, man. Fucking poor Terry Crews and his career.
Dude, it was oh wow, that's okay.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's really interesting. Oh, you know why, Barbossa? Because they're doing the I think what's going on right now is the awards. They're doing like these I think she's part of the Twitch like awards they're doing, so that's probably like an early edition maybe.
Gotcha. Yeah, so the listeners know what we're talking about. I just posted a link, so you know, good news, I guess. There was a streamer, and they saw in the background that she had a PS5 in her room. So, who knows? Pre-orders might be closer than you know.
But really quickly, with Crackdown 3, as you know, before that, we talked about that PS5 thing really quick. Let's talk about this. How many times that game got pushed back?
Oh, man. That was...
And you would think, like, a game getting pushed back that much, it's like, okay, it's going to come out. It's going to be good. Absolutely not. I think Crackdown 1 looked better graphically than that game did and played. I mean, it was so disappointing.
I think the 5 hours max in that game. I was like, nope, can't do it. Fucking uninstall.
It was disappointing because you had the marketing of Terry Crews and everything. He was a character in the game, and it was just like I had high hopes for a while, and I was so excited, and God, man, I could barely even get through 30 minutes. It was...
Yeah,
so disappointing.
Very repetitive too.
Oh yeah.
When they showed us the demo of the game and they show like these like pre-render things, it looked like you're like, holy crap, man, this game looks insane. Look at this open world destructive everything. And then when it came out, it's just like bloop. This breaks.
Like I said, thank God for Game Pass, man, because imagine we spent $60 on that pile of shit. Oh my god.
Didn't you do it though?
Huh?
Didn't they buy it?
No, we had Game Pass. We had Game Pass. Right. We had Game Pass. No,
sure.
No. The bad game Dan spent $60 on was we never let him live it down. What
Home
the
front.
Hell is it? Oh my, Homefront. Homefront. Yeah.
Forgot about that.
I remember we were playing and Dan's like, "Ah, oh, man, I can't wait for Midnight, man. Homefront's coming out.
Let's go." Yeah, I remember. Shut the fuck up.
But Dan, you said you had one more. You said you had one more game.
Yeah, I got one more game on here. And me personally, I'm a Tycoon fan, and I was a little upset by Zoo Tycoon.
Okay, I mean, yeah, you know, they're very popular, and so are the freaking simulator games. There's so many like random. Oh, there we go. We missed one. I mean, I haven't played it, but obviously, Microsoft like Flight Simulator apparently is like a really good simulator game.
Yeah, if you can run it.
Oh, really?
That's the key.
That much power?
Yeah, dude, it's not working for half of the people who bought it, so...
Oh,
did you hear the memes about the 3090? Like, they're like, the 3090 is this beast card, and then just see Flight Simulator coming through from the background.
Dude, I see so much shit with the Flight Simulator. Freaking hilarious.
Oh, my God. But all in all, now we're going to close out our Xbox One... breakdown here of this whole generation. What do we give Xbox One, and what are we looking forward to with Series X as we close out here?
I mean,
I'll give Xbox One Gen. Dan, you can go ahead if you want to. I'll say afterwards, but
I was about to just say like from watching, you know, Xbox develop over all these years to what it is now, I think it's a you know, a remarkable improvement, and they did a lot of shitty stuff at the beginning and changing to a lot better. They did a lot of great features, like, you know, looking for groups was one of the best features they probably added on Xbox. Because I know I used it a lot. You used it a lot, Patrick, and you know I think it was really good.
It's too toxic now. Yeah. So, but it was good. It was a good feature. It is.
So I think they're ending this generation strong, and especially you know with the Xbox Series X and how powerful it is now. And, you know, we're starting to see, hopefully, starting to see a lot more, you know, exclusives coming into next gen. I think they did really well here, with, and in this gen out.
I think they had a really rough start. Definitely not a rough start as obviously the PS3 had when it launched, but I think the start really hurt Xbox. And of course, coming out with the Kinect 2 bundled with the freaking console, I think that really hurt. But Phil Spencer took over. It became more about games, and you know that it started to go in an upward direction, and they really rebounded. I do think we do need more first-party games. I think that should be the focus with Series X. I think we should start getting more first-party games for Xbox. As much as I do love Halo, I do love the Gears of War.
Fable now,
we're getting Fable again. I really do think we need some new IPs.
And that's one thing that Phil Spencer said. He's, you know, that's his goal, is to bring more first-party games. You know, they have a really strong area in indies. I think Xbox leads the indie industry.
I mean, Cuphead at the time when that first came out, that was great. Really good IP, but now PlayStation's going to have it. So, I mean, I think they really need to start getting ahead a little bit more, get some new IPs on the Series X. But I'm also a little nervous about the Series X because, to my knowledge, this is the first console that's coming out with not one single first-party title.
Yep.
And, you know, you at least have to have one. I thought we were going to have that with Halo, obviously not. But maybe even you're not even getting a Forza or anything. So, you know, I talked about this with you guys. I think I'm gonna wait. I mean, like, I do want a Series X, don't get me wrong, but at that point, I'm just paying for an upgrade. And it's almost September now, and this is for both companies. We don't even have a price.
Yeah, this game of chicken needs to end.
Yeah, no,
that's all there is to it.
They are playing chicken.
It's September, and I sent you that article before. We were always given at least like 5 months knowing what the price, but we're realistically what, less than 2 months knowing the price.
And here's the thing, right? You know, we get it. COVID happened. All right. This really made everything hurt and changed everything. But you know, if you are having issues and you can't release it, just delay it. Then problem solved. Don't play this game that you're like, hey, all right then. So, you know, your pre-orders, guess what? They're a week before release. Do you imagine that? Like a phone, like an iPhone or any Android phones. Yeah. It'll be insane, man. Yeah. You'd be like, oh, I got to like flush out $500 or more to get these systems out of nowhere.
But, you know, all in all, it definitely was a really fun generation. I had a lot of fun times. I mean, Xbox Live is still very good with multiplayer. Most of all of our friends, you know, have a lot of good times, you know, with Rainbow Six, Friday the 13th, you know, Titanfall, Call of Duty. You know, the list goes on with a lot of fun multiplayer we had. Of course, Game Pass, amazing. Love the feature. As Dan said, looking for group was good for a little while for me, but then it just became a little too toxic. But, you know, great generation. Had a lot of fun. But, again, I'm a little nervous for Series X. Argonaut.
Xbox actually does acquire WB, you'll see some more exclusives.
WB is not selling anymore. ATT just said that it's too valuable of an asset to sell.
Yeah.
That would have been huge, though. That would have been.
It would have changed the whole gaming. Like the whole market would have been like boom, like a massive shift on it because you don't know like what's gonna happen then. Like you know, they got Lord of the Rings, they got Harry Potter,
Mortal Kombat, Batman.
Yeah. So, but yeah, going back to the generation, I think Xbox had a really rocky start. There are good things that came out of it. Definitely Phil Spencer taking the helm really changed it. But I'm definitely on the same page as, you know, Rage Quit. It's a simple fact that right now where we're at with all of this is that, like, hey, you need to show us your first-party games. You need to, like, show that your lineup and your developers are working hard in this. Like, Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I saw Halo Infinite, and I was not impressed by it whatsoever. And I called it. You can ask Rage Quit. I was like, hey, this game is gonna get delayed. And Rage Quit is like, there's no way the first title, the launch title, is gonna get quit. Like it's gonna get delayed like that. And he's like, and it happened. It's just like, it gives a weird messaging, right? Because Xbox Series X was like just massive, strong in messaging. He's like, here's our system first. Here are how it looks. Here's the specs. It's more powerful. And then you're just like, dude, man, this is looking great. I can't wait for it. And they're like, there's no titles for it other than they are third party. And you're just like, wait, what?
Yeah, they're going to have to scratch something up. And they have to do something with their launch. Their launch is going to fail if they don't.
Yeah, I mean, but they're on Game Pass and like the multiple titles you could be able to download on Game Pass. But, you know, only time will tell. I mean, like I said, it's very...
Can I add one more thing? Sorry.
Absolutely.
Remember this. There's one thing, and I'm sure Dan knows about this. It's called Xbox All Access, all right? So Xbox seems like it's doing this leasing program, right? So I think it's for 24 months, and you basically pay for the system monthly.
Heard about that.
Yep. With the Ultimate Game Pass. Dude, you'd be surprised. That might, given that it doesn't, like, you know, it guarantees you Game Pass, so you have, like, at least 100 games right there to play right off the bat, including the first party that are going to come out throughout the years. But you can get the system at a lower rate, right? I mean, you're probably paying interest, of course. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, we do that for our cell phones, right? It's like it's basically leasing an item. And, you know, people might get it and be like, hey, I don't have the $500 to pay right now. This is estimation, of course, right? Hopefully it's $500 and it's not higher than that, which some rumors say. You can pay it monthly. And, you know, if you play like $30 a month for, you know, 24 months, man, it's not a bad deal, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot about that. But I think you had to buy the Xbox One X or the S in order to do the upgrade later.
This is they're showing that for people that have the Xbox One X first, like it's going to be available to the mass public afterwards.
Because I mean, so that was great. I love that All Access. I thought about doing it, but I already had the X at the time.
Yeah, no, I mean, same thing with me. But if that opens up like that, man, I'm telling you, you'd be surprised how many people are going to try to get All Access to be like, hey, man, I'll pay $50, $40 a month for 24 months. Plus, you know, I already have a brand new system that way. It opens the availability to people.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's it goes through Amazon financing or something. So, I mean, it's a great deal. I mean, if you can't chunk up that much change, it's fantastic. Yeah. But I think that's it for the Xbox portion of this podcast. Let us know what you guys thought about it on our social medias. You know, you can always find us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at InnerMomsBasement. You can also, once again, we also have that giveaway going on for our podcast listeners at InnerMomsBasement.com/giveaway. You can join that, and that's 3 years again, guys. This is fucking amazing. And you know what? Our podcast has been doing better and better and better each month, and we're so excited about that. So we just wanted to thank you guys for that and for all the support you guys have been giving us. All right, guys, take it easy.
All right, guys.
You've just listened to the In Our Mom's Basement, a video game podcast with your host Dan Geoffwe and Rage Quit Pat. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play. See you in the next episode.